Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Morning. You all right? Come on, wakey wakey. Eggs and bakey. Bright eyed and bushy tailed. Get out of bed. Come on, the day's half over. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it. Bit of energy. Come on. It is now 8 in the a.m. which is summertime, of course. On Wednesday, the 26th of August, in the year of our Lord, 2026. Thank you for joining me. You're the glorious band that chose a few of my band of brothers. Are you all right, though? I do hope you are. I hope you had a nice evening. Me? Yeah, I was all right. Yeah, it's fine, thanks. Cheers for asking. Yeah, I'm joined by my returning producer, Little Harry. How are you, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
The real Little Harry there. Okay, well, that's enough faffing about, isn't it? Plenty of fanning around for one morning. Let's just get straight into it. I did notice a few people in the chat predicted the green today. You know me better than me. All right, let's have a look. What's the legacy corporate lamestream media banging on about this morning? Oh, it's wall-to-wall Dolly. Old Dolly Parton's died. Bring that up, Harry. There you go. We will always love you, Dolly. Yeah, old Dolly Parton passed away at 80. Brief battle with cancer. It's all to all, honestly, it's like nearly all the front pages and all the websites. So Dolly Parton there, Dolly Parton, Dolly, 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 Dolly Parton. Okay, so it happened early enough in the evening, British time, for it to actually go to print. All right, I mean, a few words then. I mean, I quite like Dolly Parton. She had some great songs, didn't she? Islands in the Stream with Kenny Rogers. It's actually one of my favourite songs. I wouldn't say favourite. Top 50. Brilliant song. Love that one. But she did that song, I Will Always Love You. Oh, you thought that was a Whitney Houston track. And Dolly did it first. Dolly did it first. So she was just quite nice. There was unfortunately, when someone dies now, they drag up things about them, don't they? Like straight away. So, like, she was kind of pro-vax, for example. She was very, very pro-LGBTQ+. But other than that, she was actually not very political at all, like, deliberately. Like, the odd bit here and there. Like, when asked to criticise Trump, she wouldn't. But then also wouldn't accept like an honorary award from him, and like, you know, so not entirely, no one is apolitical, but she was mostly apolitical and mostly liked, right? She seemed like just a nice person, didn't she? In interviews and stuff, she seemed like a well-meaning person, a philanthropist, wanted to help kids learn to read and stuff. And some great songs and a few good movies. And of course, the figure. State the obvious, come on now. No, good old Dolly Parton. So she's gone, I suppose. All right. What else is there to say? She had a good innings, 80. It's not bad, is it? If you live to 80, you've got to say, you know, the universe didn't rob you of your fair share of life on this earth. Not a bad age, I suppose. All right. Country icon dies at 80. We will always love you, Dolly. We will always love you, Dolly. Oh, the Sun goes with the exact same headline. The exact same headline. The Mirror. The exact same headline. So, are you a single cabal or not? Fleet Street. Dear Fleet Street, honest question. Are you a single cabal or not? Just asking. Because it looks like you are. It very much feels like you are. There's one overarching mind telling nearly all the papers, nearly every day, exactly what they are or aren't going to do, what they're going to lie about by omission every single day. Sorry. Are you or aren't you? Well, we don't need you to answer. You obviously are. You obviously are. Right, well, I mean, that's it. We will always love you, Dolly. Okay. All right. All right. The Independent. Still going with Dolly, but they don't do the exact same headline. Dolly Parton dies at 80. Right, okay. She did Glastonbury, didn't she, not too many years ago? Remember that? Or did she do Glastonbury twice? Anyway. The Guardian. Ooh. Yuck. The Guardian. Gross. Dara O'Brien said something. Don't care about Dara O'Brien. Don't care about globalist, wokest Dara O'Brien. Pretend he doesn't know about rape statistics, Dara O'Brien. Get lost, mate. Freak. Here's an actual story. Back review on electoral reform, MPs tell Burnham. So a bunch of MPs, even Labour MPs, are saying to Burnham, trying to put pressure on, as much as 100 Labour MPs put pressure on him to change electoral reform, you know. Looking at, it wasn't necessarily first past the post type reform, but just, it is first past the post as well as other things. Just get with the times. A lot of our electoral process is a bit antiquated, you might say. A little bit old hat, a little bit old fashioned. A lot of people, a lot of countries in Europe do it differently. A bit more PR, proportional representation. But you remember David Cameron, right at the beginning of the Cameron years, what was that, like 2010, 2011? He actually did. Cameron did a full referendum on PR because it was the thing that the Lib Dems and Nick Clegg, anyone remember Nick Clegg? Anybody? They insisted on, where they entered into a coalition government together, didn't they? The Lib Dems, one of their conditions was that Nick Clegg got to be Deputy Prime Minister, which isn't really worth much, is it? And that David Cameron would do a full national referendum on PR, which he did, and they rushed it through as quickly as possible, with barely talking about it, so that most people didn't even know it was going on, and then it failed to pass, you know, that we would do PR going forward. And then that's it, and David Cameron and the Tories, because it's in the Tories' interest mostly, or the two big parties mostly, just said, right, that's it, you've had your shot, that's it for a generation, sort of thing, like the Scottish independence referendum. Right, you've had your shot, we put it to the public, you lost, whoever lost, whatever side lost, and that's it for a generation. But people, even including at least 100 Labour MPs, are like, it's just not right, is it? It's just not really fair. Well, there's a fairer ways of doing it, basically. I'm not like really a PR fanatic, but I'm pro-PR. I'm pro-PR. If it was up to me, I would probably, well, almost certainly would change it. Proportional representation. Why not? I don't really see a great argument not to. It just does seem fairer. All right. MP may change law to shake up utility firms. I'm getting the impression already about Burnham is that he says a lot of things and well, he hasn't had much time to do anything really. I mean, Parliament's only sitting back, getting back to sitting like today, or is it later this week? So he hasn't actually had a chance to really do anything exactly in terms of a legislative agenda or anything like that, but there you go. I keep doing that. I feel like he says a lot of things and then U-turns on them really quickly. At least Starmer would say things and he wouldn't U-turn until it came to a crunch moment in Parliament where his backbenchers made it clear they were gonna rebel or something. It seems like Burnham says something and then U-turns or drops the idea within a day or two, rather than talking about it for weeks and months, getting to a crunch point and then U-turning. We'll see what he does. Canada to hit US with dollar for dollar tariffs. So the ongoing tiff between Carney and Trump. Talked about it a bit yesterday, didn't we? How both accused the other one of being unreasonable when trying to make a trade deal. Both saying the other side asked for things at the last moment, which the other side can't agree to, and it's being unreasonable. Trump saying, "Oh, we'll whack a 50% tariff on you then." Well, Canada saying, "Well, you don't tariff us, we'll tariff you, if anything." Trump said he wants to change the name of Lake Ontario to Lake America. Probably won't, will it? Calling the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. Not really ever going to happen. And even if he did, people probably still just call it the Gulf of Mexico for another few generations anyway. Even if it was formally, legally changed. Anyway, Canada and America, in terms of trade deals, rattling their sabres at each other. All right, the times, the venerable times. Let's have a look. Pursuit of net zero has failed to cut manufacturers' energy bills. Why would you think it would cut manufacturers' energy bills? Why would anyone think it cut bills? Of course it doesn't cut bills. Why would you think it cut bills? Why would you? No. Why would you? Okay. Obviously not. Dear old Dolly has passed away, right? Boycott fears over Burnham's Israel plan. West Bank settlement sanctions split Labour. Interesting story. That Israel are building more and more things in the West Bank, because of course they are, of course they do. That's their thing, isn't it? It's one of their things they do. They say it's just their land. Well, look, not every single Jew or Israeli says that, but most of them. It's just our land. And yeah, there's a split in the Labour Party over that. Like Ed Miliband's not in favour of it. Red Ed Miliband's not in favour of it. Of course, all the Muslims in the Labour Party, of which there are loads, are not in favour of it, are they? Of course. Then you've got the pro-Zionist lobby, the pro-Zionist types. They are in favour of it. Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise. So the dirty desert feud breaks out into our politics. Great. Great. It's nothing. Again, it's nothing to do with us. Who does or doesn't live or build in the West Bank has got nothing to do with us. Ugh. Why should it? We stopped being involved in that in like 1947 or whatever it was. Should never have got. We got involved in that area properly in World War One, didn't we? After, if you ever seen mine and Luca's content on Lawrence of Arabia, many hours worth of content, all about Seven Pillars of Wisdom and T.E. Lawrence's memoir, all about the war in the East in World War One. General Allenby's march through the Levant and the Holy Land. British armies basically that recapture Jerusalem from the Ottoman Turk. You're welcome. So from like 1917 to 1947 or whatever. Then was finally like, we'll just leave this. Obviously a hornet's nest of insanity. So nowadays, what has it got to do with us? Nothing. Don't want anything to do with it. Revolting. You've got to pick a side. No. I pick Britain's side. Someone in the chat. Balfour Declaration. Read a book. Find out what that actually is, what that actually meant. Balfour Declaration. Oh, so now the Jewish-Muslim conflicts are our problem because of Arthur Balfour. Is it? Ugh. Okay, here's another story. US refuses to confirm CIA chief's visit to Moscow. That's quite interesting. The story is that a US military transport aircraft landed in Moscow, or just outside Moscow, and it was sort of motorcade went from there to the middle of Moscow, to like the Kremlin. And the Russians were like, oh, there's nothing of importance going on. But that motorcade was like, had diplomatic plates of like the US. The US. And they were saying, the Russians basically saying, there's nothing to see here. Nothing really happened. Don't worry about it. We're not talking about what it was or what it wasn't. And the US saying the same thing. And then people that just know, people that are just in the know and leak things, say it was Radcliffe, John Radcliffe, the head of the CIA, visited Moscow. And for just for a few hours, and then left again and flew out again. And the Russians, and the Americans apparently, I mean, it's all a bit secret. It's all a bit, hush-hush. Apparently, according to sources, according to insiders, they were saying that the US even asked Ukraine to not drop anything on Moscow that day for a few hours, if you don't mind. That's quite often the way that the intelligence services do something. If people have got mainstream media have got questions, and it's sort of obvious what the answer is, they're just looking for confirmation. Very, very nearly four decades, the intelligence services will just say, we neither confirm nor deny, that old cliche. We neither confirm nor deny anything. Even when it's really obvious what it really was, you're just looking for confirmation. So that's what they said. Both sides, the Russians and the US, said, we could neither confirm nor deny anything's happened here. But the head of the CIA visited Moscow. Almost certainly. Of course, we don't know what was said and to whom, but it's interesting, isn't it? Not that usual. Well, it's not usual at all, is it? She's seen as all the rhetoric that comes out of the State Department for a long, long time about Russia. Russia. Interesting. It'll probably take years and years and years before somebody writes a book. Maybe even Radcliffe himself, years from now, writes a book and tells us what that really was, what really went on there, what happened. Might be nothing, mightn't it? Might be nothing of any real import. Who knows? Why would the head of the CIA want to physically meet in person someone, whether it's Putin or whether it's his opposite number in the FSB or the GRU or whatever? Who knows? Is it just in... A little bit of an interesting story, a little bit more than that Dolly Parton, poor old Dolly Parton has passed away. Okay, the Telegraph, the Torygraph, Dolly Parton there, okay. Birmingham set to be first 20-mile-per-hour city. Anti-motorist speed limit risks being replicated across England thanks to Burnham's devolution drive. So it's in Wales, isn't it? I think largely in Wales, where they've got like a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit all over the place, which is really slow, isn't it? When you're in a 30-mile-an-hour zone and you actually go 30-mile-an-hour, it feels slow, doesn't it? It feels really slow. And 20-mile-an-hour, drive around at 20 miles an hour, it feels really slow. Like even... Well, anyway. So apparently Birmingham are looking like Birmingham Council, if they've got more and more powers where the local authority can make decisions like this. Apparently Birmingham are looking at like the coalition of like... Labour and Green, Lib Dem type councillors, they're all up for it. I think that making the claim it will help congestion, will it? I mean, all right. Pensioners face tax raid to bail out Britain. Ooh, the older people won't like this. Older people complaining if any of the parties even remotely start talking about not having a triple lock on the pensions, even though it's not affordable, it's not sustainable. If you get your triple lock, then just quite simply, the whole state pension system falls apart even quicker than it's going to. But okay, selfish boomers, make sure you get every last penny. It's all about you, isn't it? Well, anyway. Pensioners face a further tax rate about Britain. All the story is that a think tank, a left... leaning think tank, what the Public Policy Research, the Institute for Public Policy Research, which is a totally leftist leaning think tank, just said to Labour, look, why don't you just tax pensioners more? There's a shortfall in the public purse, isn't there? We haven't really got enough money. I know. Tax old people more. That's leftism for you, isn't it, though? That's leftist economic theory. Just tax people until the pips go squeak. That's all they've got. And then when you're living in ruin, when you're living in rags, starving to death, only then will they be happy. Yeah, because you were rich, you had a bit of money. You was a kulak, you was middle class. You was a slightly more wealthy working class person. So that's what you deserve, really, according to them. Badenoch to reshuffle shadow cabinet. Don't care. Don't care about what the Tories do, what Olukemi Badenoch does and says. Don't care. Not interested in them. Their betrayal of this country was on a biblical scale. Tony Blair might have started it. Well, it was started in the 50s. Tony Blair may have ratcheted it up. But it was the Tories, that 14-year of Tory rule, where they flooded us with millions of enemy combatants. An army of foreign fighting age men. Nigel said that. It was in the news cycle yesterday. Nigel went on Talk TV and one of the first properly important people to say, this could well be an army of foreign invaders. Yeah. Well done, Nigel. Well done. People have been saying that for quite a long time because it's so obvious. We finally caught up. Finally summoned the balls to say it. Yeah. Yeah, an army of invaders. I'm not interested in what Badenoch says. A literal Nigerian anchor baby was gloating in Parliament about all the foreign visas she got just not many years ago. She was in government during that 14 years for a portion of it. Not interested in her reshuffle. Get out of my face. The eye paper, Dolly Parton's passed away. Future of UK state pension triple lock in doubt. Yeah, because it's completely unsustainable. Yeah. With older population growing faster than workers. Extra 2.9 million people are projected to reach pension age in Britain between 2024 and 2049, outpacing the rise in working age population of just 2.2 million forecast over the same period. Public finance time bomb calls into question long-term future of the UK state pension welfare system and raises the prospect of higher taxes to pay for aging population. Tough new conversations in Whitehall about how long government can honour its current commitments with regard to state pension, with other Western democracies and Japan grappling with similar social trend. Life expectancy was around 65 for men when state pension was introduced in 1948. Now it's 83. Yeah, it's unsustainable. It's not fair. It's not that I've got no... Let's be fair. It's not that I've got no sympathy for older people that paid into their pension for their whole life and now may not get what's fair, what's coming to them. But welcome to the club. Yeah, it's been mismanaged, hasn't it? Yeah, you've been betrayed on another level. Yeah, another layer of betrayal by our elites. People that were supposed to rule over us and work in our interests. Yeah, just another layer of that. Not fair, is it? It's not fair. I'm not gloating about it. I'm not happy about it. Let's be, you know, I want to be clear about that. I threw a little bit of shade at selfish boomers earlier. That's hyperbole. It's not fair, is it? It's not. There it is. The numbers don't add up. They will not add up. Just one more injustice, isn't it? Just one more injustice. Just one more example of their complete mismanagement of the whole thing. I can only advise people to pay into a private pension as soon as you can. As soon as you start working, if you can. Got to spend your life building some sort of nest egg for your own old age. Don't rely on the state to do it for you. It's a bit late to tell older people that now, but... All right, the Daily Mail, pure globalist slop. Pure globalist slop, trying to pretend it isn't. There's Dolly Parton. Harry's 15-year plans. Don't care. Don't care about Harry and Meghan. Burnham warned of impending Russian-UK attack. Right. So Andy Burnham has been warned that Britain faces Russian retaliation over its support for Ukraine. Okay, the story goes on. So over the last few days, we're no Stern and Burnham, King Bumham, King of the North, King Andy, the first of his name. We went to Ukraine, stood shoulder to shoulder with Zelensky as long as it takes. Here's how to build cruise missiles that you can shoot deep into Russia. Don't worry about the 1.5 million men killed on your side alone, not including just the wounded, outright dead. Don't worry about that. Just here's how to keep the war machine going. Russia have taken away their ambassador in London and have said Britain will pay a price. And the latest sort of soundbite for out of Russia was something like semi-military or like proto-military. I can't remember the exact wording. Or was it? They said it'll be a direct response. What did they say? Like quasi-military, something like that. It's not clear whether they'll do anything at all. Or whether it'll just be some sort of cyber attack or actual, you know, like kinetic weapons, right? Actual, whether it's Russian versions of cruise missiles or just one of their ships firing on one of our ships or a little bit, or who knows what it will be? Who knows what it will be? But Russia said, we'll pay a price. There'll be a direct response. And they hinted at, I can't remember the exact thing where they said quasi-military or semi-military or something. Anyway, so I wonder what they'll do. If they do anything, it might just all be bluster, mightn't it? They might shoot down one of our aeroplanes over the Baltic or something, where we fly sorties right up to their airspace. They do the same thing to us. Fly their fast ships right up to our airspace, or even just inside our airspace. We do that to each other all the time. Have done since the Cold War. Still do it to this day. Whether it's over the skies near Crimea or something, or in the Baltic or in the North Sea area, maybe a Russian jet will actually like fire a missile or something. Who knows what they'll do? Maybe nothing. It might just all be saber rattling or just like hot air. But the Russians have said that. They've taken their ambassador, the full senior ambassador, ordered him back to Moscow and said there will be a direct response and that we'll pay a price because we're now involved in this war. He said, like, Britain has persisted, I'm paraphrasing ever so slightly, but very slightly. They said something like, we've persistently and maliciously poured fuel on the fire, that we've stopped peace negotiations. I mean, it's true, isn't it? Remember when Boris did that? All the prime ministers since Boris have been massively pro-Ukraine. Anyway, all right. If you look at it from Russia's point of view, for a moment, if you look at it from Putin's perspective. All right. You may well not do anything because, you know, we are in NATO. The United States has got our back, probably. If they were to actually fire on us in some way, that would give the war hawks in NATO a reason to escalate things. It could get out of control real quick. Who knows? Who knows? All right, The Express. It's a good paper. You can read your Express now. The Express, pure globalist slop like all the rest of them. There's Dolly Parton then and now. Well, not now, but when she was young and when she was older. Dolly Parton, okay. God bless her. Okay, experts call for defence budget boost as we step up support for Ukraine. Britain must prepare for Putin's threat. Or just have nothing to do with it. Or there is that. That is also an option, isn't it? The Donbass region. Why is Britain putting itself in danger over the Donbass region? Okay. See if I can find that quote about... Oh, yeah, that's it. Semi-military. Russia's veiled threat of, quote, semi-military, quote, action on British soil. That's what the Russians said. Semi-military. What does that mean? Don't know. It'd be nice to know that, wouldn't it? There's going to be a direct response, and it's going to be semi-military. Does that just mean like a cyber attack, does it? Okay. Nigella Lawson has joined the Bake Off. Really? Okay. The FT, the Financial Times. There's a place in Brazil, the Asbestos Town, with asbestos mines. Okay. Beijing threatens to strike back if US sanctions on Iran hit China's interests. Isn't it already? Why really does China care if Iran survives or not? Oh, because it's really a proxy for the contest for global hegemon with the United States, isn't it? Obviously. The Great Game by another name. The Great Game in the 19th century, the power struggle between Imperial Russia and the British Empire in Central Asia. That Great Game. Is there a new version of that going on? But it's really China and the United States now. In the same part of the world, roughly. That Great Game. The Devil's Chessboard. All right, the Metro. Ooh, gross. Ooh, gross. Ooh. Oh, you're going to talk to me something about Harry Styles? Ugh, gross. Shut up. Go away. Picture of freak Harry Styles. Don't care what he's talking about. Don't care. I'm not interested in that. It's still risky, but if you want to quit smoking, switching to vapes is better than puffing. Are you a smoker and you want to quit? Don't bother with like the gum or the patches. Just start vaping, says the Metro. Okay, pure slop. That's it. That's it. An increasingly absurd and infuriating front pages in the British print media. Nothing really about Epstein again, you know, nothing about Mandelson. Certainly nothing about the fifth Baron Rothschild. Nothing about Ehud Barak. Nothing about any of that. No? Okay. Okay. Dolly Parton died. Nigella Lawson's on Bake Off. And you should vape. Right. All right, let's have a look at the price of crude. We check in with the price of crude, don't we, on this show most days. Let's have a look. What have we got here? All right. Remarkable, isn't it? Brent crude just shy of $87 a barrel. West Texas just shy of $81 a barrel. That's about the price it was in at the beginning of February before the war in the Persian Gulf started. It's about the price. Shade higher. Shade higher. Remarkable to me. I would have bet a lot of money this wasn't the case. If you said to me at the beginning of February that America and Israel are going to launch a big war, quite a significant war against Iran, and it's going to last 6 months or more, rumble on for 6 months. The Straits of Hormuz will be closed on and off, largely closed, for that whole time. What's your prediction of the price of crude oil? And my options are about the same as it is right now, $150 a barrel or $200 a barrel, all-time highs, $200 a barrel plus. I would say, well, it's at least the $150 barrel option there, at least. Probably much more likely to be even higher, like all-time highs. Surely, no? That stands to reason. That makes sense. There's no way I'm, out of those three options, say, there's no way I'm picking that the price is about the same. No way. That would not happen. Would not happen. Doesn't make sense, that. So not that option. And yet here we are, and that's what it is, though. Well, there you go. What else can we say about it? All right, let's have a look at our poll. We do a poll, don't we? Nearly every day. Try to nearly every day. Harry, you have to bring that up for me. Oh, you're way ahead of me. You've already done it. Okay, what have we got here? Just shy of 1,000 votes. And we asked you guys... Oh, it was Russia. We asked you about Russia. Do you think Russia will actually attack Britain with kinetic weapons? You know, actual, you know, real life weapons. A fast jet or a battleship firing a shell or a missile at us or something. know, real firepower, not just a cyber thing. 66% of you say no, the no's have it. Yeah, and 11% of you say yes, 23% of you say maybe, a chunk of you say maybe. I mean, that's... if I took this, I would click either no or maybe. I'm not sure what I'll do. I don't think I'd be clicking yes. But it might happen. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. That's one thing I would say as well. You know, it totally could happen. The 11% of people that voted yes, you don't have to get out. I'm not throwing you out. You may well be right. You may well be right. I think if I was taking that poll, I'd probably vacillate between no and maybe and probably end up clicking no. I think that's what I would do if I was taking that poll. Who knows? Really don't know. What does semi-military direct response mean? I think... if you look at it from Russia's point of view, it's not a good move for them, is it? To actually fire something at Britain, like a full NATO, senior NATO member. The escalation that would permeate out from that could be disastrous. It's not just the British Navy, the tiny British Navy. It would become a NATO problem then, wouldn't it? Become a NATO issue. Because if it really was just Russia versus just the UK, Great Britain, that's something. But it's not just Great Britain, is it? It's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and ultimately the United States. So I guess I'd click no if it was me on that. But the people that click yes, you might be right. Who knows? We shall see, I suppose. Well, we will. We will. A bit worrying. A little bit worrying, even like, you know, the possibility of it. It's a bit concerning. All right. Let's have a look. What other stories did we have besides the passing of Dolly Parton? What else did we have? Well, there was one story here. Sudanese asylum seeker who arrived in UK after his claim was rejected in France, lay in wait on the high street for lone woman before slashing her 30 times with a broken bottle. What are we doing here, people? The Sudanese. Very often it's the same few countries, isn't it, of people that do insane stuff. Afghanistan, Eritrea, Sudan, Pakistan. Another Sudanese one. Mentally ill, first words that the lamestream media say is mentally ill. A mentally ill asylum seeker lay in wait for a lone woman before slashing her 30 times with a broken bottle. Ibrahim al-Bashir. Yeah, so look at that. Why is he? He admitted attempted murder. He didn't know her, it was just completely random. He was laying in wait for her. And he only stopped because passers-by knocked him out cold. That's why he's a bit battered there. He wouldn't stop. They didn't stop until they knocked him out. She survived. They say he's got schizophrenia, but then the judge in the case said, oh, he claims he's got amnesia. He doesn't know, doesn't remember what happened. And the judge said, no, I don't buy it. I don't believe that. 25 years. Oh, an indefinite hospital order thing. And 25 years. So hopefully he'll never get out. But I mean, again, it's the sort of person that can't be trusted, forfeited their right to life, in my opinion, for a crime like that. You're just hiding in wait for someone, some random woman, then you try and murder her with a broken bottle. What? What an animal. Should never have been in our country. The French didn't want him. Like I say, his attempt to become French failed. So he just got on a dinghy He went to Birmingham, went and lived in Birmingham, then a number of other places around the country until he ended up in Leeds and then did that. Oh, also he sexually assaulted a member of staff at one of the places he was staying at as well, on top of that, and exposed himself to some other member of staff. Just, this is a monster, a monstrous person. Should never, ever have been allowed in this country. Why was he here? That we just allow unvetted people to come in. Why? Well, it's because it's what they want, isn't it? It is what they want. All right, I'm on the podcast today, so I can't be too late. It's already 22. Let's do On This Day in History before we get to our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. All right, on this day in history, down through the centuries, nay the millennia, what happened of note on August the 26th? What have we got here? Okay, in the year 1346, the Battle of Crecy. Brilliant. Brilliant. Do you reckon that on my history theme show, Bodade's Epochs, that's behind the paywall on lotusseaters.com, consider signing up for as little as £5 a month. That would be bronze tier membership. That's what that will buy you. Access to everything that's behind the paywall for the lowest tier of membership. Got hundreds of hours, without exaggeration, quite literally hundreds and hundreds of hours of history-themed content. Do you reckon there's at least one video there where I talk all about the Battle of Crecy in extraordinary detail? Yeah, there is. That would be a good bet if you bet that that was there, because it is. In fact, I think I'll talk about it twice. I think I've got a whole bit of content about Crecy and then another bit of content talking about Edward III. So talk about it again, at least in passing, again. So, yeah, Edward III and the Black Prince. Oh, racist. Black Prince. He wasn't actually black. So that's cultural appropriation, isn't it? Edward the Black Prince would have been Edward IV, but his own father, Edward III, lived too long. Lived to be really, really old. And his own son, the Black Prince, who would have been king, he ended up dying in middle age of natural causes. One of the many men throughout history who would have been king of England, should have been king of England by rights, by all natural rights, but just didn't make it. The Black Prince. Well, he earned his spurs at the Battle of Crecy. The famous arrow storm. Or Edward III's English longbows defeat Philip VI's army south of Calais in northern France. Cannons are used for the first time in battle. They're tiny cannons. Tiny, tiny cannons. Didn't make a giant difference, really, tactically, in terms of the outcome of the battle. But anyway. Yeah, it was a crushing, brilliant, brilliant victory. One of our greatest victories. Either the or the second most crushing victory of the Hundred Years' War. Perhaps Agincourt was more. But, yeah, Crecy outnumbered 2, maybe 3-1. Maybe slightly more, depending on the accounts you read. And we lost very few men, a couple of hundred men, and they lost thousands and thousands and thousands. Our longbowmen, just the arrow storm. We took up a position on higher ground, and they kept trying to charge us, and we just kept mowing them down with arrows. They just kept charging all day. In the 14th century, or centuries later, they still thought this, but in the 14th century, they thought, if we were just braver, if we're just more gallant, if our charge is just delivered with more dash and elan, we'll break through. It's to do with that. It's not to do with, like, the physics of the numbers of arrows that are incoming. Well, it's just wrong, isn't it? That's just the wrong way to look at that problem. How to dislodge a few thousand longbowmen off higher ground. Well, we just need to charge harder. We just need to stick our chest out more and try harder. You sure about that? All right, Battle of Crecy, great one. If you want long-form content of me talking about that, it is there on lotuseaters.com. All right. On this day in 1682, English astronomer Edmund Halley first observes the comet named after him. Halley's Comet, of course. Yeah. Edmund Halley, one of the all-time greats, 17th century astronomers. By that point, a lot of work has been done on lenses, on optics, and, you know, our human ability to look at the heavens closer and closer and closer was coming on leaps and bounds. Edmund Halley, you know, looks at and describes in various ways Halley's Comet. All right, on this day in 1873, the first free kindergarten in the United States is started by Susan Blow in Carondelet, a suburb of St. Louis, Missouri. Okay, not much to say about that. Just like, is it? Okay, good, I suppose. Is anyone interested in the history of kindergartens? I'm not really. All right, move on. On this day, 1937, General Franco's nationalist troops conquer Santander during the Spanish Civil War, which is right at the top of Spain. Right at the very, very top. In the Galicia region, isn't it? Is it Galicia? Anyway, right up there, near the Basque region. Do you reckon I've got long-form content all about the Spanish Civil War of the 1930s? What's the betting that I sat down with Big Harry Robinson for a couple of hours and talked all about Franco and the Spanish Civil War and George Orwell's homage to Catalonia and loads of other things? All sorts of quotes from historians talking about it in quite a lot of detail. Yeah, it is there, yeah. Don't bet against that. If I'm asking you, if you bet it's there, don't bet against that, because it is there, it is real, it's true. Fascinating, actually, I think the Spanish Civil War. Fascinating in all sorts of ways. All right. On this day, 1959, British Motor Corporation introduces the Morris Mini Miner, designed by Alec Izigonis. I've never heard of Alec Izigonis. I've never heard of the designer of the Mini, but okay, it was apparently someone called Alec Izigonis. It is only 10 feet long, yet seats 4 passengers. Yeah, they're cute cars, aren't they? They're cute cars, Minis. Like the original Mini. Even the modern day Mini's not a bad little motor, is it? But the original one, I think they're cute. Bit of a death trap. I mean, if you have any sort of high speed impact with it, it's like you may as well be sitting in an egg carton. But they're cute, aren't they? Sort of becoming more and more collector's items these days, aren't they? They're rare and rare and rare. I saw one on the road just the other day at the weekend. Someone in one of these old sort of 1960s, 1970s one. He's tiny. They are tiny. Almost comical, really. Anyway, just a classic British thing, isn't it? Just a classic British thing. All right. On this day, the Italian Job. You've seen the Italian Job, yeah? Okay. On this day in 1996, US President Bill Clinton signs welfare reform into law, representing a major shift in welfare policy. Yeah, well done, Bill. Yeah, well done, Bill. Brilliant. Good job. Good job. Bill Clinton, ladies and gentlemen. Unconvicted sex criminal Bill Clinton? Is that fair to say? Can we say that? Oh, I've said it now. Oh, it's happened. Why did you fly to Epstein's Island so often, Bill? What went on there, Bill? Remember when Bill and Hillary Clinton went before the congressional hearings? And just said, don't know anything. Don't know anything. We were sort of barely friends with him, really. And whenever we were there or in his company or anything like that, never saw anything untoward. Never ever saw anything criminal remotely. And you're out of order for even asking us, really. We're angry that we'll have to come here and answer any questions about it. Okay, Bill. Okay, Hillary and Bill. Sure. Sure. All right, let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. It's the time of the show, nearly 10 to. Do need to get away as close to 9, after 9 as possible, really. I've got to sort out my segment for the main podcast. All right, Rumble Rants. Is today a good day with global church history in at number 1? Yes, he is in at number 1. Global Church History. Mr. History. That's his real life surname, is History. It's not, of course. He said, he usually gives us two factoids. What have we got here? You tell us. Today, in the year 1071, the Romans lost the Battle of Mazikert, making them lose Anatolia to the Turks. Interesting. You say Romans there, you mean the Byzantines, the Eastern Romans. Are you one of those people, Global Church History, just thinks of the Byzantine Empire as just a true, genuine continuation of ancient Rome? It's fair enough, by the way. I don't necessarily agree, but it's a fair enough thing, though. I'm not going to lock horns with anyone that thinks that and argues that, because it's not a completely unsound argument. Anyway, you're just calling the Byzantines the Romans. Okay. They lost the Battle of Manzikert. Yeah, it's a big one. It's an important one. 1071, so it's before the First Crusade, that. It was a big one. Aslan, the Seljuk, it's against the Seljuk Turks, right? I can't remember the guy's name, but anyway. Yeah, this is the ascendancy of the Seljuk Turk, isn't it? They come crashing out of Central Asia, crashing out of Persia and Mesopotamia, further and further west, pushing the Byzantine frontiers further and further into Anatolia, modern-day Turkey. And that Battle of Manzikert was a big one. It was when the European Christendom really starts taking note of it. The Seljuk Turks are something different to sort of the Fatimid Caliphate and stuff. So, anyway, Manzikert, really important battle. A lot of people in the West might not have ever heard of it, but it was a really pivotal thing, And it happened on this day. Interesting, I did not know, of course, I don't have that the date of that committed to memory, so interesting to know. All right, and the second factoid we've got here, you say, in 1366, the Roman Crusader Alliance retook Gallipoli. Again, you're using the word Roman there to mean the Byzantines, right? Byzantine Crusader Alliance retook Gallipoli. Right. Well, so by 1366, the Byzantine world is very, very, very much on the decline, isn't it? You know, less than a century out from the final collapse of and fall of Constantinople itself. And if you were to look on like a time-lapse map of the size of the Byzantine Empire, it's just getting smaller and smaller and smaller as the decades go by. And then, you know, maybe a little bit of an expansion again briefly before getting just slowly until right at the end in the 1450s, it's basically just Constantinople with a tiny bit of land around it. And so in the 1360s, you know, lost Gallipoli there, but then retook it then briefly, but it's all still just all right. Okay, interesting. Thanks for that, Global Church History. Appreciate it, buddy. Appreciate it. All right, the next one's TomRat247 says, PR would create a permanent leftist coalition. Do you think? I don't know. I'm not too sure about that. I mean, I know what you say a permanent leftist coalition, it'd be Blairism on steroids. Heinleinism fixes this, all of it. I know TomRat loves these Heinlein. I don't think PR would necessarily create a permanent leftist coalition. It would depend how people vote. I mean, it depends how people vote, doesn't it? But I know you like your Heinlein. Pushing the Heinleinianism wherever possible. I respect the grind. Okay, Fallen Firebird says, speed limits can reduce congestion, revolutionary. You know what else can reduce congestion? Not having tens of millions of foreign barbarian browns clogging up the country like a blocked toilet. Yeah. The fix everything button is to deport 10 to 20 million people that shouldn't be here. Yeah. Nearly every problem to do with public policy, that our quality of life, the fabric of our society, would be fixed. Not necessarily fixed, but helped by deporting a few million people that shouldn't be here, largely third world barbarians. that per capita have an insanely high rate of violent and sex crime and organised crime. Yeah, you're right, Fallen Firebird. That would fix it, wouldn't it? That would help it. That would help the situation, certainly. Okay, and the last rumble rant here is from Pigdog5150. Says, did you hear about the machete fight between invaders in Cornwall? Yeah, I did see a clip of that on my Twitter timeline. Will you be uniting your Cornish men to save the Cornish in Cornwall from the invaders? Seriously, why do we put up with this? I mean, what can we? I mean, you know, we're trying our best here at Lotus just to get the news out. But what can we do? Yeah. I suppose you've got three options, isn't it? You could try and advocate for change, including on social media. Try and advocate for a political party that has got policies that would address this sort of thing. You can do nothing and sit at home like a moral coward. Or you can actually fight back, form some sort of militia or whatever. People aren't going to do that. Very, very few people, basically, know people are going to do that. Most people can't even summon the balls to not be anonymous on the internet, can they? They're not going to do that. Why do we put up with this? What, we're going to have cadres of our men roaming the streets with machetes of their own in case a machete fight breaks out? It's not likely, is it? So then your options are basically sit at home and do nothing like an absolutely spineless moral coward, or do something, say something, try and build something. They're sort of your options, aren't they? You can always aim high and vote low. All right. Should you ever look at the YouTube ones? Harry, can you do that? Okay. James Lee Pevenhole says, I can't remember, it's a swear word, can I say it? It's not. It's a minor swear word, but I won't say it. You say, you got told off for spending pounds on here, my last. Ah, what, your missus? What, your partner or your dad? I don't know how old you are. I don't know. Well, you got told off for spending pounds on here, my last. Oh, well, that's a shame. Not just because there's a little bit of money for the LE coffers, but it's a shame to... You send good super chats. Oh. It's only £2. It's a direct appeal from me to whoever's holding the whip hand over James Lee Pevenhall. Let him spend a couple of quid if he wants to. No big deal, surely, is it? Really? In the scheme of things? It makes him happy? Give him a break. All right, well, if that is your last one, sorry to hear it, James Lee Pevenhall. Really, genuinely. Bit gutted. All right. The next one is Wooten's Shield. It took me a while to read that because it's just one long word. Wooten's Shield says, ethno-nationalism or extinction? Well, I have always said openly for quite a long time now, there is an ethnic racial element to our national identity. Yeah. Being Scottish, English, Welsh or Irish, Northern Irish. There is an ethnic element to that, yeah. You can't just come from Bangladesh and be British. You're not. You can't just come from Albania and now you're British once your foot steps on our soil. No, you're not. You can't just come from Japan. The second you step off the plane and your foot touches England, you are now English. No, you're not. It's just reality. It's not crazy, far-right, extreme madness, Nazi madness. No, that's reality. It's an extreme view to say the other way around, that someone from Japan or Bangladesh or Albania, the second they step foot on England, they're now British. That's an extreme view. That's a crazy extreme view. That has got no bearing on reality. That's nonsense, isn't it? Isn't it? You know it is. Okay, Max Robe says, Russia's got an orange... Oh, sorry, not orange, sorry. Russia's got an orgone accumulator. I don't know what that is. And it makes them feel greater. They'll see you sometime later when they're through with their accumulator. I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. Sorry, Max. Sorry, I don't know. Apologies. Probably a load of people there like, what? How don't you get it? Why don't you understand what's being said there? Sorry, I just don't. What can I say? Thanks for the super chat, though. You spent £5 on that. So sorry, Max. Might be a really, really clever esoteric reference, and you're making a really, really good point. It's lost on me. I'm being dumb. Sorry. Okay. Emily for Restore says, not enough is made of Johnson kiboshing an early Russia-Ukraine peace deal. Man has millions of deaths on his hand, past and future. Brackets Boris wave. Yeah, Boris Johnson. Yeah, you're right. People don't talk about that enough. I've talked about it, mentioned it half a dozen times, maybe a dozen times in passing. Yeah, that was an insane thing. My list of traitors to this country should be held to account for their crimes. The list would read, the first two names on the list would be Tony Blair and then Boris Johnson. Maybe the other way round. Maybe Boris Johnson would be the top name. Absolutely insane traitor. The degree of his treason, his malevolence, off the charts. Historical levels of betrayal. Least of all that. Well, not least of all, but, you know, turn of phrase. Yeah, that. Why? Why did Boris care? If Ukraine and Russia were close to some sort of peace deal in 2022 or early 2023, whenever it was, but he stepped in saying, no, don't do that. That's not a good idea. Stop doing that. Why? Why? Reports were they were close to some sort of deal, weren't they? At least some sort of ceasefire. No, don't do that, Boris says. Alexander Boris Johnson. So no, keep the slaughter machine ticking over, please. Why? Don't know. Because you can't allow Mr. Putin's aggression to stand. He might roll on to Minsk and Warsaw and Frankfurt and Paris. It's just nonsense. Okay, Mr. Dickie Bingo. You put, I smoke, but never in between cigarettes. Yeah, I'm a smoker, haven't I? I'm a smoker. It's a dirty habit, it really is. You can feel that it's unhealthy. You know, like eating a kebab or whatever. You can feel this isn't good for me. I like it, though. Yeah, almost certainly shortened my life. Bad habit. There it is. I'm a bit old school. I do think in generations to come, they'll probably look back at smoking as just like a crazy thing that happened. Like sending little kids up chimneys or whatever. It's like, really? People used to do that? What a different world that was. What a crazy thing. I think they'll look back at it like that. People used to race cars without seatbelts and without a proper helmet. Their helmet was just a piece of cloth and goggles. That's crazy. The people from yesteryear are crazy. We wouldn't dream of doing such a thing. I think like future people look back on smoking like that. They did what? They repeatedly inhaled particulate matter deep into their lungs and held it in. Really? That's mental. I think that's how future people look at smoking, probably. Okay. Principled Uncertainty says, why can't you make a paper model of Robert Michaels? The iron law of origami. I'll see myself out. Yeah, get your coat. I'll get my coat. Nice. Thanks for that principled uncertainty. The iron law of origami. Love it. Okay. Emily for... That's very good. That's genuinely tickled me a bit, that. Okay. Emily for Restore says, 25 years, question mark. Get him the F out of my country. Yeah, that guy that stabbed up that woman 30 times with a broken bottle in the middle of the night for absolutely no reason. Other than he's an insane person. Well, I think actually he's insane. They're saying he had catatonic schizophrenia to some degree of it, and he's got a whole life hospital order. But yeah, should never have been here. Kiefer Brown, 1337, an Eamon Holmes joke, says, Eamon defeated Dolly's security, who only work 9 to 5. Oh, he's here a week, people. 9 to 5's a good song. Not a bad film as well. There's a film, isn't there, as well? 70s. Rest in peace, Dolly. Get well soon, Ames. In all honesty, in all seriousness, without any sarcasm, do hope Eamon Holmes gets well soon, who's done nothing wrong. Eamon Holmes. Okay, last three here. Tatum, a rumble rant just popped in. 14 Barber says, morning, mate, all right? Yeah, I'm all right. Hope you are. Did you see that terrible ruckus in Truro the other day? Yeah, a machete knife fight between foreign invading barbarians in the street in Cornwall. Yeah, ridiculous, isn't it? Every little bit, even all the way down in Cornwall. Machete fights, running machete fights in the street. That's just a thing now. Relatively common in Britain. When I say relatively common, I mean really quite common. We only get it reported in the lamestream media once in a blue moon. Well, it's not even in the media, is it? It's just on Twitter. But it happens all the time. All the time, machete fights. Between two gangs of foreign people in our streets. It's disgusting. The people that have subjected this on us, the elite who allowed all these people in, need to answer for that crime, that unspeakable crime against the people, against the nation. Yeah, I saw it, 14 Barber, yeah. Sickening. You know, it's just the beginning, isn't it, of a sectarian nightmare? Okay. Tatum2733 on the YouTube Super Chat says, this is how I think of it. Roman Empire, 27 BC to 756 AD. You put it as late as that. 27 BC, what is that? The Battle of Actium? Or is that Augustus becoming the princeps? Augustus becoming Augustus. Oh, sorry. Octavian becoming Augustus, is it? 27 BC is when Octavian became really, legally, the sole ruler of the Roman world. To 756 AD, you put it as late as that. Okay, all right. And then you put Eastern Roman Empire, 756 to 1204, which is like the Fourth Crusade, isn't it? The Fourth Crusade, 1204. When the Frankish Western Knights got in and burnt down Constantinople. You don't put it at 1453. Oh, but then you said Byzantine Roman Empire, 1261 to 1453. The final fall in 1453 at the hands of Mehmed II. Mehmed the Conqueror. And you've put unconventional, I know. A little. I wouldn't go by those exact dates, but it's fair enough. If that's what you think, if that's how you feel. There is no right or wrong answer. You can make the argument. Fair enough. Good on you. Personally, I'm one of those people. I do feel like the Byzantine Empire. I think I've got long form content talking about exactly this with Iron Age agriculturalist Marcus. Good old Aussie Marcus. I've got long form content talking about exactly this question. Yeah. Personally, I do think of the Eastern Roman world after a certain point. Certainly beyond the 5th century. I see them as something separate to the Romans. But it's a complicated thing, right? I mean, they spoke Greek. They wrote Greek, thought of themselves as Greeks, called themselves Greeks. But yet there's loads and loads of layers of Romanness to their culture and their civilization, still, though. I mean, to call them Eastern Romans is fair enough. My opinion. Well, anyway, we haven't got time to get into that. It's already 9:10. I haven't got time this morning to get into that. It's an interesting one, though. Yeah, okay. There's more of Titian, so now the third from last one is Steenie14. Says, RIP Bradley Townsend. I used to go to college with the lad. Said to hear he was killed by a Ukrainian drone. I don't know who that is. Bradley Townsend. Don't know who that is, sorry. Is it possibly... I did see in the news there was one British dude who went out there and fought for Russia and was killed. I think he was the first Brit to be killed on the battlefield for Russia. Fighting on the Russian side. He's actually a British dude. Is that who that is? I didn't remember his name. I've not committed his name to memory. Is that who that is? Bradley Townsend. You say you went to college with him. Is that who that is? I don't know. All right. Well, thanks for the super chat anyway. The penultimate one here. Tatum says, why did, in inverted commas, why did people smoke? Crazy. And then the answer is, it felt nice. And then the response to that would be, oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a bad habit. Most people have got one or two bad habits, isn't it? With you. Even if you're just, you just sort of abuse food, you know that cramming cake down your gullet all evening, and you're morbidly obese, you know it's bad for you. You know it's bad. It's killing you. But it's nice. Or you do hard drugs, like you intravenously inject heroin. Yeah, you know it's bad. You know it's killing you. It's going to kill you. It just feels so good. It's my only vice. I'm really quite straight edge. I rarely drink. Very, very rarely drink. Don't keep booze in my house, in my fridge. I go out to the pub, of course, I'll have a drink or two. I'm pretty close to not drinking at all, really. I don't do anything else other than a little bit of Golden Virginia. My diet's not great, but it's not terrible. It's more or less all right. It's really my only vice. It'd be good to kick it, though. Probably would be good to kick it. Can you kick it? Yes, you can. Okay, Emily for Restore, last one here, says, FYI, Danny Tomo is recruiting. Oh, I've only just really... I'm only just becoming aware of this Danny Tomo, if it's who I think it is. I've only became aware of him for the first time, like a week or two ago at most. Is this the guy that actually is like forming some sort of militia? That guy? Or LARPing as one? I don't know. I actually don't know much details. Don't have a go at me for saying LARPing. I don't know. That might not be fair. That might be an unfair characterisation. I don't know. I'm barely aware of the guy. Is that the guy though, isn't it? I think. In fact, little Harry, would you mind Googling Danny Tomo? It's the guy I think it is. Well, that is exactly the sort of activity that if and when the state decides have I got this completely wrong? Is this not the Google images don't seem to be well anyway actually trying to form a militia is the sort of thing that the state, if and when they want to, will come down on you like a ton of bricks. An absolute ton of bricks. At this point, anyway. Yeah, I don't know enough about it. If that is the guy that you're talking about. I think it is. Actually, just looking at it now. I think that is. And, I mean, I should really look into him a bit more before, well, I will look into him more before I pass any sort of judgment on whether it's silly LARPing or whether it's sort of real interest or not. I don't know. It's best to save judgment on things like that, isn't it? Like a reasonably serious thing. I'm going to go off half-cocked. All right, one more has just popped in. It's from Carmichael Cookie Dough Foot Job. That's his name, @Carmichael_CookieDough_ Footjob. Says, I'm straight edge too, except for the testosterone Anavar, don't know what that is. Masteron, don't know what that is. Clenbuterol, don't know what that is. And another word I can't even read that I've never heard of. Retatritutide. I don't know. Are those all just like weightlifter testosterone type stuff? I'm guessing. I've never heard of any of them other than obviously testosterone. Okay. I think Carmichael Cookie Dough Foot Job is having a laugh with us. And that is quite funny. Okay, that's the show. It's now 9:15 in the AM, British summertime, on Wednesday, the 26th of August in Yeovil, 2026. Thank you for joining me. Really do appreciate it, as always. Without you guys, it isn't a thing. My glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers. Thank you. Try and make the best of the day ahead. You know, carpe diem. Seize the day, if you can. It's the most valuable thing you will ever have, is your time. By orders of magnitude. Nothing else you own is of any true value. You can't take it with you. Right? Don't be fooled that the rocks that you've got are of any real value. Your time is of value. And it's finite, unfortunately. It is finite. All right, I won't get too preachy about it. It's up to you what you do, but just be warned. You know, you've only got a finite number of days on this earth. If you can, for your sake, try and make it count. All right, then. Until tomorrow morning, take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.